Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation.
Hey, City Church, Gus Bird here. I'm sitting here with
Rafael Mukanda.
Welcome to More Than That, where we touch on the sermon once again and just offer another little bit of, I call it free chicken, but I always get odd looks when I say that. Just a little bit more on the sermon from the previous Sunday. So if you haven't heard the sermon, please go back and do so. It was great. I've already gotten great feedback from it. It's from Exodus 3, 9, verse 9 through 22. So if you haven't listened to it, please go back and, just go listen to it again, because that's really the basis, the context that we're working out of. So with that, Pastor Rafael, if you had another 10 or 15 or 20 minutes onto your sermon, what would you like to offer your church?
I mean, first of all, I probably would love to say that, if you're listening and then you end up having you having some questions, or even on a Sunday morning, just make sure you throw them at us, and maybe this is also going to be another way of actually us answering some of those questions. And just to answer your question, if I was to have a little bit more time, I think I'd probably slow down a little bit more, and I just stumbled on. Just like Exodus 3:14 became, I don't know, it just blew up in my mind and in my heart to see how when God defines himself, mm-hmm. when God finally really brings out who his name is, it's in who I am, who I am, and the whole idea. I feel like we could have just sat on that, mm-hmm. just on the whole idea of that's a name that is not captured by time. Mm-hmm. That is like almost like that speaks of God's consistency, that who I was, mm-hmm. who I am who I will be who I, mm-hmm. you know, who I am, I will always be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just that, like, and having to see that once you get that, like, I just feel like that just blows up the whole Bible.
Yeah.
That just takes, like, you know, and it takes the view of a covenant-making God. Mm-hmm. Like, and begin, like, when, you know, when you read Titus. Mm-hmm. Titus is going to say in the first verses, it's going to say, God does not lie. Mm-hmm. Like, as in, like, there's no, you know, when the Bible is going to say he is holy, he is righteous, he is just, he is all the attributes, his goodness, and all those things viewed through he is the great I am, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, it's almost like, it makes his goodness. He will always, yeah. He is good. He was good. He will always be good from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what he says. He says, this is how I will be known for all generations, including mine. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's actually like where just spending a little bit more time probably massaging those truths into our people today, that, like, man, look at this. God's showing up to Moses. And he's saying, I am the father of your fathers. And then I'm the father of what? I'm the God of Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, and Jacob. And then I'm also the same God showing up. And that's centuries in between. Mm. And then to actually consider the fact that that's the same God showing up in Jesus. And that's the same God. Then it's almost like, you know, we look at the cross and we see that as something that happened 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at the Abrahamic covenant and we see that that's something that happened. But we don't see the fact that, like, while all these, we look at, in fact, I would say this, we look at all these things within the construct of time.
Right.
And we forget that the one who made it is outside of time. And if God was to show up to you and me today, he'll still say, I am.
Yeah, that's good. I was just thinking the struggles that I've had in some of my relationships, like with my wife, have often come because I forget who she is.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. when I tell myself lies about who she is,
mm-hmm.
but then when I remind myself, oh no, that's who Karis is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then it puts everything back in perspective, and like I say, I'm sorry, and we move on. But when what really got me in your sermon and the emphasis on, you know, I am who I am, when he says, therefore go,
yeah,
and how when God says something, you know, there it's not just a direction.
Yeah.
It's an empowering instruction. Like if I tell you to go to the store, you're gonna have a car, you're gonna have gas, you're gonna have the money, you're gonna have, like, everything's gonna be so that, because that's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And because my words, let there be light, brought forth combustion and stars and all that just happened from those same words.
Just me speaking, yeah.
Yeah. And so when he told Moses to go, like, just those two letters, how much that meant because of who he is.
Mm.
And
that's so good, too. Just in, like, it's, because one of that, the meanings of this, like, it can be translated, the name I am basically cannot be translated with just one phrase. That's really... Mm. One of them is, I cause to be.
Mm.
I'm the creator and the sustainer. And just looking at that, I don't know, like, if that, you know, when Moses finally just goes, it's like, with all that hitting you and its gravity, obviously, then now you can go, you know? But obviously, like, because we've read the story, we know Moses is still going to bring a couple of other objections on that. But for us, when we're looking from this other side and we see him objecting, we're like, Moses, you don't have an idea who you're talking to?
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing, at least a privilege for us to be able to read it from our side. Yeah. That's
yeah. Yeah, he does. I had a professor that he encapsulated that with, you know, Moses, here I am, send Aaron.
There you go.
Yeah.
And maybe even just the, I mean, one of the, this could be a message on its own.
Mm.
Taking that name I am and blowing up the book of Exodus and showing what Walter Brueggemann says. He said something that just, like, I literally got stuck in this. Because he said this, like, Walter Brueggemann, who's an Old Testament scholar, he says the entire Exodus narrative is an exposition to the name of Exodus, what, 3:14, which is I am, requiring all its powerful verbs for an adequate expression. Meaning that, like, basically, like, when you begin to look in just in Exodus, there's more than, at least I counted more than at least 15 plus times where God has to say, I am the Lord, I am the Lord, I am the Lord. And in between all those times, or during that time, it was actually Israel just rebelling, wanting to, or doubting, or doing, it's just like, to all the doubts and to all the their lack and their all their issues that were going on, God always responded, first of all, let me remind you who I am. Mm-hmm. Which puts a totally different view to all our issues. Our issues rooted in the fact that we've just forgotten who our God is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy to think how. So is Brueggemann saying, like, the Old Testament is an expository of verse 14, of just trying to explain who this God is over and over and over?
Kind no, of he says that obviously, like, Exodus is going to be that.
Okay.
But then even on Sunday, I said, I think, if anything, if we blow it up, mm-hmm. you know, following up your sermon,
mm-hmm.
where you had to almost like use the whole Johannine text of looking at the book of John.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Jesus coming to reveal himself as?
Yeah.
In fact, why is Jesus crucified? He says, I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection mm-hmm. and the life. I am, you know, and then I am the light and on all those things. And by the time he gets to chapter 8 of John, that's where he says that, like, he says, well, before Abraham was, I was. I am.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, right? And yeah. then it's just like, and then how does the Bible end? I am the mm-hmm. Alpha and the Omega, yeah. the beginning and the end. Who was and is, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's just like, this is actually now, like, where we're looking. If we were to look, the Bible, that it says, in the beginning, God just assumes he is I am from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
He's these I am at the end. So that's still a very healthy biblical assumption to make. There's other, like, more theologians that are more equipped than I am that actually say that, like, the whole book of Exodus is God making himself known.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kind of puts fresh legs on the book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. That's what I love about, like, reading and going through one book
mm-hmm.
is the fact that, like, there is a way, and of which, like, I keep on having to say, there's a way in which every book all of a sudden comes up front and it becomes the most important book.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but God, I've done that with the last 10, 15, 20 books we've preached yeah. through. Like, and then I'm like, oh, it's because it's your word. You know, that's why every single space, every single passage is going to be so important. So.
That's good. So if you had, let's say somebody were sitting here and they felt God's call in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And but they're just experiencing doubt. They're doubting their abilities, they're doubting themselves. But they were convinced that God were calling them to go into ministry, to do something, be on a mission. What would you say to that person in light of this sermon?
So a person who's struggling with the call,
Like they're doubting themselves with
it. Yeah, doubting themselves. I mean, this is Moses. Moses says, "Who am I?"
Mm-hmm.
And later on, we're gonna see some more of his doubts, and some of that it's got like a lot of history behind it. Just the fact that, like, you know, he tried and he failed before, mm-hmm. Or he knows how wrathful Pharaoh was when he left. But now Moses has to now, like, there's, I would say, like, just following the pattern of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Moses is going to say, "Who are you?" He's going to say, "Who are you? Yes, I am not adequate, but who are you, God?" It's the same thing. Paul, why are you persecuting me? We all know now that God knows he's a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
And all that stuff. So, and then I'm going to send you. You're going to be a witness to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Paul could either just be very crippled by the fact that, like, and he's going to say that later, that Christ came to save sinners and of whom I'm the worst,
yeah.
Right? And he basically says that God did that to display his power through me. And there is almost like when God approaches Saul, he says, you know, "You're persecuting me." And then Paul says, "Who are you?" And then Jesus answers, "I'm, you know, Jesus." All of a sudden, Paul recognizes that he has risen.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say following Moses and following Paul, their next questions are always, "Who are you?" So I would say somebody who's struggling with the call, if you look deep inside within you, you're probably not going to find the confidence you need.
Yeah.
So what you might need to do is probably do these things where find like maybe just like at least like read the Bible, asking yourself every single day, "Who are you, Lord?" Mm. And not only that, I would say picking up like classics like Knowledge of the Holy,
mm-hmm.
Which is A.W. Tozer on the Attributes of God, yeah. Attributes of God by Arthur W. Pink,
mm-hmm.
Knowing God. Like pick up anything that actually has this like, or maybe just any of the systematic theologies and just ask yourself, like, discover who God is.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this season would be more of a bulking season of just eating as much as possible. Just your yeah. knowledge of who he is. But let it not just be knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Let it be orthodoxy, which is the right kind of direction. Let it actually begin to affect your emotions,
mm-hmm.
which and your life, your inner life, which is what we would call orthopathy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Orthopathy, let it affect you deeply.
Yeah.
So let theology affect you deeply, then orthopraxy is going to come out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So we look at it as it's just really like head, heart, and hands.
Mm-hmm.
Like as in like, man, binge eat like what God has said, who he is. He's the one. And so you remember the book that we read, Am I Called, by Dave Harvey?
Yeah.
He says this in there. He says that we start in the... He says that this, like, the issue that we do is that, like, a call comes in, right? A call comes in. "Hey, Gus, you are required to report to such and such and such."
Mm-hmm.
The issue that comes in is you just hanging up and just like saying, "Oh, okay, I'm being called," and then all of a sudden, just like you're scooting around trying to. The first thing you really need to actually understand is who's calling.
Yeah.
Like who's calling? What rank do they have?
Yeah.
Like do they have like who cleared that call?
Yeah.
right?
Under whose authority
and all that. It's almost like it's almost like some random person calling, "Hey, bomb this country," and all that stuff. No. What's the clearance? What's that? And then if you hear the voice of the president on the other side, then you know, okay, it's a go. You see what I mean? It's not so much also about the calling as much as the caller himself. Focus on the caller. Focus on who he is. And all of a sudden, the calling becomes actually what?
Mm.
Maybe a little bit easier.
Yeah.
It will literally, like what you're saying, you're so empowered. Like, when you get, like, a Medal of Honor, like, right? Or if you were in the days of, like, the medieval times, or the king has knighted you, like, anybody else can scream anything. You're not qualified, you're this, you're that. But what has the king said?
Yeah.
Right? It's almost like Esther's time where the king has to say, well, honor Mordecai, put him on a horse, put him on... I mean, no matter how much, like, this guy wanted harm on him, he had been knighted, but he had been actually, what, elevated by the king. And you can't do that anything, you know?
Yeah.
So I would say that, like, the doubts actually die when we hear more from the caller and we look and we're saying, listen, this came from the highest clearance you could ever find. So therefore, you know what? I'm good.
Yeah.
That's
good. I hadn't thought about, you know, that doubt that Moses had and that we have when we feel that call is natural. Like, who are you?
Yeah.
And the way out of, you know, the way out of the self-doubt is to stop focusing on yourself and refocus on who he is.
Like,
like what you had at the bottom of the study sheet, you know, when we remember God's name, we reconnect with God's promises and power. So and it took me 5 sentences, you did in 1, so that's good, man.
So I mean, that's at the end of the day, that's go to the letter of Hebrews. How do we keep running the race? Hebrews 12 verse 1 and 2, it says we have this race that is set before us, but let us actually what? Run with endurance. But how do we run with endurance? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Like, keeping our eyes on him all of a sudden helps us to be able to overcome, like, just some of the issues that are going on around us.
Yeah.
So
that's good. Well, thank you, Raphael. Appreciate the time. For everybody listening, thank you for taking time and listening to More Than That. Hopefully see you this coming Sunday.
Yep.
We're looking into Exodus chapter 4.
Chapter 4, where we're looking more and more of his objections and how God has to deal. How God graciously still deals with our doubts, especially when he has called us. Yeah.
That's so good. God bless, everyone.
God bless. Bye-bye.